Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is a blessing for me to be here. I hope it will be a blessing that I'm here. I was just speaking with Mac, had reached out and asked to share about some of the things in Emporia that's going on, and one of them, most of you may know about already, is a thing that we do called LifeWise Academy, that it's an outreach to youth, and I'll share on some of that, and also hopefully within that, share what's something that's on the Lord's heart also pertaining to that. I'll ask you for a bunch of prayers, and hopefully we can pray together and join together on this matter. But I do feel that, you know, a lot of times when you share, that there's a reason for it. And so if I get asked, I don't get asked all the time, but I get asked sometimes. I always ask the Lord, do I have permission to do that? Can I do that? And why? And I get this scripture a lot when I do have the freedom to share out of Romans. And so I will have a topic, right, I'm going to share about LifeWise, but I always need more than that. I need from the Lord, why? Why should I share about it? So the scripture where I was encouraged from the Lord, where I feel like the Lord said you could go ahead and do it, was just out of the first chapters of Romans, where Paul was greeting the church there. And he says, I'm just going to read it because it goes along. I just feel like these chunks of these letters that I'm going to read today are living and active. And they may not match up perfectly, but it's the same church, the same Lord, the same resurrected Lord, the same Spirit. And so I read this from Paul to you, but also some of it is my heart and our heart from Emporia also. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son, who was descended from David, according to the flesh, was declared to be the Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, who I'm served in, with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I'm not an apostle. I have prayed for you. I cannot say I pray for you unceasingly, night and day. But I have prayed for this fellowship. You've prayed for me. And I just sensed when I was praying, I asked the Lord, what's the meaning of this? What's the heart behind this? And I just felt the Lord's heart, same way as Paul said, is that I long to see you. I've heard you've been praying for us. You've been supporting us. And so there's a longing for that. And I do pray that something will be imparted to you, that you will be strengthened, and mutually so, because we need it. And this is it's a very intimate thing. Paul loved this church. They're in the gospel together. And it just seems powerful when he says, you know, that phrase when he says, chapter 4, the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's something very powerful. That's where we're connected, our Lord. And I feel like your Lord just encouraged me. I just felt from the Lord that I felt it last night and this morning, just sensing where he says, I just want to encourage this group of Christians, my people. I want to impart something to them. And so I pray that's what we're going to do here. So if y'all don't mind, I would like to pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for this morning. Lord, I thank you for this great gospel, Lord, of Jesus Christ. Lord, this good news. Lord, worthy. We do say again, worthy is the Lamb, God. And Lord, we pray that this message will be in that same spirit of worship. That because you're worthy, God, you're worthy to be listened to, Lord God. You're worthy to be honored, God. You're worthy for us to tell others about you. And more importantly, God, you're worthy, even as we're telling, for us to show forth your glory and show forth your testimony, God. And so, Lord, just pray you would strengthen it. And at the end of all of this, that you would use this time, God, to impart something, Lord. Lord, you're a real God with a real life, and you have real gifts and real power, God. And it's a real gospel, Lord. We're not just boxing the air or just playing games, Lord. We actually have real words to deliver. We have real encouragement to give. And Lord, the group here has real encouragement to give back. And so, Lord, we expect that transaction, and you desire for it today. And, Lord, I just ask that your will would be done in your name, Lord Jesus. All right. I do want to give a warning. I probably will use the word gospel a whole lot. It's a habit I'm picking up from reading the Bible. And so reading the Paul a whole lot, you pick up that phrase. And so I may say it so many times, you might think, what is he talking about? And, you know, it's one of those church words. I thought about gospel is one of those words you hear, and it's like you automatically, like, it's like your brain's so familiar with it. Oh, yeah, I know what that is. So, like, if I have a message and I say, I'm going to talk about the gospel, you kind of take that word, throw it back in the file cabinet, and say, let's see what else he's got to say. Right? And there's nothing else to say. Amen. And so, this is the heart of it. And I believe the encouragement that God wants to give you or impart to you is an encouragement in the gospel. And let the Holy Spirit interpret that, whatever that will mean. And so we're going to talk about that. That's the purpose behind LifeWise. And this gospel, which we know means good news, right? Everybody knows that. If you don't, now you know. Gospel means good news. And I wanted to read this scripture, and then I'll go into speaking about LifeWise Academy, what it is, where we've been, and those type of things. But in Isaiah 61, I wanted to read this. This has been a scripture that my wife has been talking about a lot the last year or two. We've been thinking about it, praying about it, and it's come up all over the place. So Isaiah 61, starting verse 1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, and to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, festive oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees planted by the Lord to glorify him. Now think about the Lord himself. This is talking about the same Lord that we sung about, the one that's resurrected, the one that's living in you and me, the one that's in his church, invested himself in his church. This is what he read when he gave his own testimony about himself. He's anointed. We all know he's anointed, but he's anointed to do these things. And I've learned wherever the Lord really is, these things happen. They have to happen. It's because that's what he's been anointed to do. right? And within here, we see the first thing he says is to bring good news to the poor. We're the poor, right? These songs that we were singing, and it just encourages me already. And I just turned 46 this week. To watch people who are older than me still raise their hands when songs say something like, "You saved me from my sin," and "You saved me from my shame," and it's still, you're kind of still undone by that reality, that this good news is still good, right? After all you've been through, I thought about it just real quick. I know I'll get to preaching, I have a problem with that, but we'll talk about life-wise. What I observed, I'd like to share things the Lord's put on my heart. But, you know, I was thinking about that, about the testimonies that are in this room, that the things that people have been through. Then I looked down at the hymn book and I thought, all these brothers and sisters wrote these songs, all these testimonies that are represented in these songs. Then all the testimonies that are represented in this room, all the sicknesses that y'all have had to been through, all the deaths that you've had to go through, all the disappointments, discouragements, church fights, miscommunication, all the misunderstanding, all those things represented of what you've been through, and to still show up and still to testify to the goodness of God is a wonderful thing. And then it made me feel like this small, and I thought, man, I'm just a speck in the whole spectrum of eternity. And in a speck of this time, I get to stand up and share something. So I told the Lord, I probably shouldn't be here. And I feel like the Lord said, "You go encourage my people. You encourage my people." That's what I hear from the Lord. He's very adamant about that we would be encouraged and that the good news would keep being the good news. And so, and that's our Lord's heart. That's why he came and saved us. That's why he's the God that leaves the 99 to go get the one. We're all the one. He left everything to come get us. Us ones make up the whole. And so this is the heart behind God, his heart, what he's anointed to do. And so, and you guys know this, it's a wonderful thing, but it can cause a lot of agony and suffering while you're on the earth. To have the good news, and people are still dying. People are still going astray. Whole sections of society are still under the grips of Satan, while we have this glorious freedom in Christ Jesus. Right? It can cause a lot of prayer, intercession, cause fasting, a lot of trying to figure God out, try to pray, try to witness. And for years, I feel an emporia, and a lot of people have heard these things, so I'm not going to spend too much time on them. But I will make points about the history of LifeWise. It didn't start with LifeWise itself. It started with this reality of who Jesus is. It started with this reality of he's anointed to do these things, then how come I'm not seeing him do these things? And then you cry out to the Lord, like that's how you stand in the gap, right? You see something of the Lord, the reality, and then you see the condition of either yourself, a church, men, or the lost, and you stand in that gap, and you ask the Lord, are you going to bridge this gap? And why am I seeing these things? And so out of that heart, you know, you begin to pray, you begin to seek, you begin to do a whole lot of work. And so I grew up in Emporia, but ministry-wise, caring about the things of the Lord, probably for the last 25, the number keeps changing. I get older, so, but it's close enough. Some years of just trying to, you know, you get captured by this gospel. I think about how Paul talks about the gospel, and he says he was set apart for this gospel. And I remember years, probably 10, 12 years ago, being captured by that phrase, like, because I knew what Paul had done and what he's doing, and he's suffering, and then he says of himself, "I'm set apart for the gospel." So everything you see me come out of me is because of what I've been set apart for, which is this gospel. And I remember seeing that and asking myself, can I say that? Can I look God in the face and say, I'm set apart for the gospel? I didn't know. So when you don't know things and questions come to you like that, they turn into prayers. So I started asking the Lord. I told the Lord, I want to be set apart for the gospel. At the end of my life, I wanted to be, the good news, I was actually set apart for it. That was the purpose of why these things flowed out. And so the Lord, and that's kind of what he was doing anyway. That's what he does with us. And just walking through that way and trying to do things probably in my flesh a lot of the times, or maybe even in my own emotions, because you really get to care for people. And then you go through the process of God having to burn out your own emotions so he can have a pure burden. So, you know, sometimes through this process, I thought I was set apart for the gospel, but really I really cared in my own flesh, and that had to die to where I could get into God cares all the time, whether no matter what I feel like or what it looks like. This is who we are as a people. And so through this process and through a lot of failure, it seems like failure, and I know the Lord will get whatever blessings he wants to get out of whatever we do, that's up to him. That'll be up to him in eternity. The fruit is up to the Lord. And so just through prayer, I just fast forward 20-some years. I don't want to get into telling a bunch of stories, but I kind of just got to the place where I just told the Lord, looks like nothing's working. I've preached. I go on the street and preach, do it in church services. You know, I'll go here, go there. I was working at a high school. You know, I share the gospel there. And it seems like it's darker and darker and darker. And last night, I kind of got touched by the Lord because I was just thinking about scripture. And the Lord, this is where LifeWise comes in. He reminded me of the church in Philadelphia where they had got weak. They were weak, but they had honored the word of God, right? And they were not ashamed. They kept the name of Jesus. So it's almost like you get to a point to where you love God, you love your brothers and sisters, but you just can't do anything. And it seems that's where God likes to open doors. And that's what he told his church in Philadelphia. You know, he said, I see that you're doing this, but I've opened a door for you, right? They gave him the key of David. I've opened a door that no man can shut. And so through prayer and seeking the Lord, and I feel like we just came to a point to where we were like, we had the prayer, we had the heart, we had the commission from God, and I feel like we just got boiled down to, well, I know this word's true, and I know the name of Jesus is what we stand for. But we didn't have the strength to do anything. I didn't have the strength to organize a nonprofit organization. Didn't have the wisdom either. I didn't have the strength to put all those things in place. And it was, you know, things get dark. And at the right time, God opens a door that nobody could think about, right? He sends this ministry that's already like almost prepackaged ministry, right? I mean, with the steps to do things. But the whole heart of LifeWise Academy is, it's a nonprofit organization that's across the nation. But what it is during school hours, children, if their parents sign them up for it, can be picked up for Bible study or be picked up to hear the gospel. And I just, you know, somebody brought it to my attention. And like I said, before this came about, all that work with kids, I realized I got, and I've said this many times, I got boiled down to these kids only need one thing. They need the living word of God. They need a lot of things, but the only thing they really need is the living word of God. And the Lord had put that 4 or 5 years ago. It's almost like I latched onto that prayer, and the Lord said, this is all I want you to pray right now. So for a couple of years, The Lord's like, when you pray for the youth of Emporia and when you pray for Emporia, just pray this. Then I realized, hey, this is a prayer that Apostle Paul prays, that a door would be opened, right? That the word would go forth swiftly. So then I felt in good company. So for years I've been praying, would you just get them the word? Could you please get them the word? Lord, get the word to them. Because this is their salvation. This is the only hope. There is no hope outside of this word. And so I didn't know. I was praying that the answer would be part of the answer. It's not the whole answer, but part of the answer is this LifeWise Academy. They came about at the right time. It had the right people in the right place for it to actually happen. And so it technically it's a nonprofit organization that they found out in the 50s there was in the Constitution it was put in to where you could have release time in schools for what they call religious instruction because you couldn't just narrow it down to just Christianity. So it's release time for religious instruction to where it's not illegal, it's legal. And there's three criteria for it to where the parents have to sign off on them. It cannot be on school property and cannot cost the school districts any money. And so there's hundreds of them now all across the United States. And Emporia is the only one in Virginia right now. There's other ones I think are ready to start. But the founder's mom is from Emporia. And so she was really adamant about Emporia having one and really encouraged it that way. And my own personal testimony with it was that what I just told you, I prayed and I feel like it ended up where I feel like the Lord was like, this is the answer to that prayer. Because I got to a point where I thought, this is a nonprofit organization. What does this have to do with the church? Right? This isn't spiritual. And I told my wife, I said, I don't think I want anything to do with this. And she said, I think you ought to ask the Lord. And so, yeah. And you know how that usually goes, don't you, Mac? And so, yeah, the Lord brought it about. And while I was sitting in the first information meeting about it, the Lord softened my heart and said, this is an answer to what you've been praying. And so that was almost 3 years ago now where we just heard about it. And so this scripture about the Philadelphia church in Revelation really stuck out to me last night because that phrase, the Lord opened the door. And I was thinking about LifeWise, and I just thought, like, this probably shouldn't be happening in Emporia right now. And I surely probably shouldn't be the leader of it. And then I got to thinking of all the provisions, all the people said they're praying, all the things that just happen and keep happening. And part of me, it felt like I'm just watching God say, I love people so much. I just want to, he's still anointed to bring good news to the poor. He's still wanting to, he's stomping at the bit to get people in his presence, right? And I've seen the Lord provide money, a bus. There's people that teach, because I don't teach in it, so I don't do the day-to-day things where you actually are actually teaching the kids the Bible and preaching the gospel to them. I just get to what they call a director, stand in the gap and do some paperwork and do some prayer. But to watch the Lord open a door, and it was a door where you think, I think I never would have thought about that. That's how you know it's the Lord. And to go from a couple of years ago telling the Lord, like, I don't, like, what's going on? Like, how do we, this whole town needs the gospel, to where I think it's around 280 elementary school kids that get to hear the gospel every week. And I'm real busy, so I don't get to think about it. So I'm thinking about it even now while I'm talking to you. And last night I was thinking about it a lot, like, and I was like, is that really happening? You know, I looked at the number of the kids, and then I know the people that are teaching them. I'm like, are these people really in a classroom telling these kids about the Bible and telling them about Jesus and actually being, like, loving, like, these kids know these people love them. And the Lord is good. And to watch him love on people, and to watch him provide, and to watch him be himself is glorious. And y'all know how, y'all know probably better than I do. And then when you see those points, you think, whatever you had to go through, it doesn't exist anymore. And you almost, at those points, maybe naively, you're like, well, bring on to whatever's next. Because that's the way we should be going, right? From glory to glory. And so, yeah. I don't know if there's anybody here that works with LifeWise have anything they'd like to say or share or any stories. You don't have to. Anything. Or I can give you a time in some minutes later after I ramble on some more. But I just... There are a lot of stories in the classroom that I don't get to see or hear, or maybe the heart of it also, some of these teachers and people. So even while I'm finishing sharing about this, if there's anybody who feels like they would have something, just raise your hand, tell me to be quiet, and we'll listen. You got that, Catherine? So, you have anything now? Okay, I'm going to keep going. I just know I was about to read this Bible verse right here, and it may be like a diving board into like 30 more minutes. But then I thought about last night also praying. I've actually been thinking about this for a long time. In Philippians, first chapter in Philippians. You know, I thought about this Romans one of coming to you. We have the same Lord. And Paul is like, I want to impart something to you. But we also share, us in Emporia, in the fellowship here, this Philippians thing is real to us, and I can feel it. Like some of you guys say, hey, we're praying for you down there. And I say, I know. And I don't know just because maybe Christy come down and told me. I know because at 1 or 2 in the morning, when there's spiritual warfare going on, and you feel like all hell has broke loose, I feel strengthened. So I'm not joking that some of you brothers and sisters said, hey, we're praying for you. If I ever looked at you and said, oh, I know. Like, I know. I wouldn't be here if probably you weren't. And so, and I just think about this Philippians. I'm just going to read, start at the beginning. It says, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons. This is to you guys here, also in Richmond. I should say to the saints in Richmond, including the overseers and the deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in every prayer, because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it out unto completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affections of Christ Jesus. And I pray this, that your love will keep on growing in knowledge and every kind of discernment, so that you can approve the things that are superior and can be pure and blameless in that day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You know, you think of these things to where, I thought this is very serious, because you guys were praying for us in Emporia before, you know, work or no work going on. That has been prayer. And Paul had this Philippian church where Paul was saying, you know, you guys were praying from day one. You guys, like, the gospel wasn't even established when you guys were praying for us. And what does that even mean? I underline that. I asked the Lord last night, is the gospel established in Emporia? And so whatever Paul meant by that, that's what God wants. But the prayer, the thing of joining together in Christ Jesus with the establishment of the gospel in Emporia, right? And so Paul is saying to them, hey, you guys have been with me. And I you know, as you go on and you realize sometimes, you know, it can get lonely caring about the things of God. And Paul said sometimes, you know, everybody deserted me. So it meant a lot for Paul, and Timothy was with him, to have a people who can say, you were with me from day one. You're my day one, right? Like, ride or die, like they say, you know. So the Philippian church, that's for y'all young people over there. I'm getting away from LifeWise, but it's all part of the gospel. And I do feel like that's this word. I'm no apostle. I'm not. I'm just a guy from Emporia. But I almost felt when I was reading this, because Paul's telling the Philippians, hey, you're with me, establishment of this. But he tells them, I'm sure God will start the work that he will finish the work that he started with you. That's to this church. That's to the ones that have stood and fought, been through things. God, what he started and why he wanted this fellowship here, he will finish it.
Amen.
It's just what he does. He says, it's right for me to think this way. And it's a right way of thinking. That when we capture the heart of God, who he is, and we're set apart for the gospel, we're seeing the gospel established here. You guys have been partners in establishing it in Emporia. LifeWise is a piece of it. LifeWise is not the church. It's an outreach. It's a ministry. So it's a part of it. And it's been a blessing. And if you want to know anything about the organization, how it's ran, who the guy is that started it, talk to me. I like to talk about it. But I just feel like in this moment, I'm just sharing the things that, if it's okay, Mac, if this is okay, what I'm sharing, okay. And I just think, we just want to thank you for that partnership. I've gotten emails that said, hey, we're praying. There's checks that have showed up at the right time from this fellowship, provision. And to have people ask, like, well, ask specifically, well, what about this? Can we pray about this? Can we pray about this? That, the encouragement that comes from that, it just, you know, it's, God can speak any way he wants to. But when other saints are partnering with you, that's like God speaking. It's like God saying, stand there, keep going, keep praying. I'm with you guys. And so you guys are not invisible, but you're invisible in Emporia. So you're part of the cloud of witnesses for us. And I just wanted to say thank you for partnering with us. And there's other things. The Lord wants to establish other things as we go. I'll get into that. I'll give some prayer requests at the end. But this, the way LifeWise came about and the way God seemed to come around it, right? It's almost been, since it started, every time, like, people that donate money, and so then let's say we have something we have to buy and it's $10,000. And that's a lot of money to me. Some of you guys may be, you know, big dogs up there, but $10,000, I'm thinking, yeah, we probably shouldn't do that. But it was things like, you have to do this by this, we have to get this by now. Almost every time we did something like that, the same two or three days, the same amount more showed up back again. And it's almost like, I feel like sometimes when I'm by myself, and I'm like, that's a lot of money. Like, I got to send that. It's $5,000 here. This costs $10,000, or sometimes it's small. And then it happens, you know, then it's something comes in, and it's the timing of it, I know it's the Lord, because I just have these moments with the Lord, like he's playing with me. Like, he's like, go ahead and get more and see what happens next. You know, it's you write it. But the Lord's been that way with this. And so, you know, sometimes we say all glory to God. Like, it's just like no nonsense. It's God's glory. He's helped raise it up. He's blessed us with the children, with different. It's a girl from back home named Leslie that was a teacher that helped a lot of the students, almost all the students, get enrolled. This one teacher that the Lord has that we know, we fellowship with sometimes, that just has a heart for evangelism and reaching out to kids And so she got that, and then Catherine, Jeffrey were down, and this started, and Kent and my family got involved, and Gail, for some reason, thought she wanted to be a bus driver. And that may be the biggest miracle. And so, but think about it, if the kids can't get there, they don't hear it. So that was things like that. People stepping up without asking anybody. You know, the brother that bought the bus, he came to me himself and said, you're gonna need a bus, I'll buy it. And so those are some of my testimonies from my side. What time do I need to get out of here? Gotcha. I did wanted to get into some like prayer things like that, but like I said, the testimonies from my side are that seeing how the school board came together. We have a superintendent that for some reason really likes LifeWise, and other school districts, the superintendent is kind of afraid. They're in a kind of a political position, and it's, you know, it's kind of hard to juggle, like, should we let this program be here or not? And by God's grace, Dr. Edwards, our superintendent, is still going to bat for us and standing up for us. And that's part of two, to where that open door, just to where you just see things open up. And so that's from a director's side. I get to see God's hand that way. If anybody would like to share anything, Joy knows some things. My wife, you don't have anything? No. You don't have to. Anybody? Christy?
I'd like to hear from somebody.
He's talking about Catherine.
Catherine, would you like to share? I know you're shy.
She's not shy.
I promise I won't look at you.
You may go up with you?
Yeah. I can go up.
You want them all to come up?
Join,
they're coming. Uh-oh, Noah's here.
We probably do have all kinds of really cool stories, but I, the whole time I've been in here, I've been thinking about this one thing. Because when we were in Richmond, I remember a prayer that was prayed repeatedly at the prayer meeting. People would come in and they would give the reports about like the school system and like how things were getting worse and worse and how more and more evil was being allowed in. And over, like I specifically remember, even through COVID, this prayer like that the Lord would just do something and that he would raise up a standard to like counter. Like I think the word came to me in a prayer meeting one time, like when the evil comes in like a flood, when the enemy comes in like a flood, like the Lord will raise up a standard. And so I think of that, and I think of those prayers that we prayed almost all the time when I see what's happening in Emporia with LifeWise. Because I specifically remember like asking the Lord to just do something miraculous to raise up a standard against all the evil that's flooding into the schools. And I remember those prayers like all the time when we... When we see what's happening. Yeah. But
when Stephen just shared that same verse at the LifeWise dinner just recently, and a little closer. Okay. I think that's true. And I was thinking, I'm glad you guys are here because you can help me my memory. There is a kid last year, which you should really be up here. Because this kid, Gianna, he came to LifeWise, and I think he had a Bible already, right? But he wanted to read his Bible, and he would go to the Child Watch where Gianna just happened to be the caregiver there at the YMCA. And so he would bring his Bible and ask to read the Bible with Gianna every time he comes in. And then out of that, he asked someone, right, to take him to church. Mm-hmm. And so this kid just approaches somebody that he knows that goes to church and starts attending church, and then his entire family now, right, mm-hmm. is going to church because of this kid. So the standard isn't just like, you know, people taking a stand for these students, but it's like what God is doing through them already. It's like the kids are not only, you know, the Lord's working in them, but the Lord's working in through them, mm-hmm. To change and, you know, to help their families to draw near to him. And I remember a story that Jeffrey had said that, you know, he's there on the a street with a lot of foot traffic, people just walking by all the time. And so people just see him and they're like, oh, are you the LifeWise, one of the LifeWise teachers? And he said that he was. And they were like, oh, yeah, I heard this story that you guys taught this week. But the kid's not in LifeWise. The kid is just a kid that heard from another LifeWise student at school who shared.
Like a fourth or fifth grader.
Yeah. So the fourth and fifth grade kid is like actually telling other students what they heard at LifeWise. So it's the kids already being used. And so the standard is being raised up beyond like what we have the means to do and the capability. So the Lord's able to do that apart beyond what we're capable of. So.
Yeah, I just, when we first started, so if you back up a little bit, when Catherine and Jeffrey had moved to Emporia, they were kind of halfway there, halfway here, and staying in a house that Betty Ann had sold to Stephen and I, and it has a lot of land, and we were doing a youth Bible study at our house, and some of the younger kids would go to their house during that youth Bible study. And the same girl, Leslie, that Stephen had talked about, she all of a sudden wanted to bring her whole public school class to where the younger kids were, where Jeffrey and Catherine were. And so she started to pick up, like, loads and bring them over. And so it had gotten to so many kids where we had to move our youth meeting over there too, so we would have like some people to watch over all these kids. And so this is before LifeWise, and Stephen was like, we're gonna get in trouble. I mean, these are kids that come from pretty bad backgrounds, and there was it was just kind of, we needed more supervision. And so anyways, the Lord raised up LifeWise right after that. It was just like a miracle, and just the way everything came together, and it's like, you know, way more capability of kids that we can get and bring. And when we first started, we didn't have the big bus. And so we would, Gail's minivan, we had another, or not minivan, her big van. We had another big van, and then my minivan, and we would go pick up the kids at the elementary school. And in my minivan, I remember I would ask these kids, so tell me what you all know about Noah's Ark. Like, these kids didn't even know stories that most everyone would think that they would know. They knew nothing. Like, it's almost like being in a third world country. I mean, in our country. And so we have a generation of kids that aren't taken to church anymore. There's no Sunday schools anymore. You go to a lot of churches, and there's no Sunday schools. And so these kids knew none of the stories that we all take for granted, we all grew up on. So it was just really eye-opening to see just the lack of knowing anything about Jesus. And so I think that's what had just stood out to me so much. And so even this year, some of the classes they were teaching on the Ten Commandments. And just to hear these kids say these things and realize, like, some of the things that they do on a daily basis is actually sin, and they're, like, gripped with, like, conviction, you know? And even seeing their parents that, you know, that are living in sin, and they know. And so, anyways, it's really a miracle that the Lord has raised us up. And a lot of you have known we've been in Emporia a long time. This was our 20th anniversary. So I've personally been there 20 years, and Stephen longer. And so we just appreciate all of your prayers and all of your, like, caring for us, because we do kind of feel like we're, you know, our life is kind of like we're on a mission field, and it is a very different culture. You can ask Catherine. She came into a very different culture. And so, but it's amazing to see the Lord raising up something miraculous. And after all these years, this is something where the gospel is going out, and this whole next generation in Emporia can literally be transformed as they get older. And so that's our prayer. And we appreciate all of you praying. So.
there really are so many stories. A few people came down, so I feel like I'm going to repeat some of them if I say. But, like, we went through the Ten Commandments maybe the last couple months of school this year. And I know some of you already heard this, but, like, as we're going through the Ten Commandments in the first grade class and we get to do not murder, and you just think that's one that you kind of, you, like, oh, well, you know, this also means Jesus explains it as you do not hate. Well, we already knew there was one girl in the room whose dad had murdered her mom. And then there's a girl across the room who's like, yeah, my dad's in jail for murder. And then there was someone else who was like, yeah, my uncle's in jail for murder. And this is like in a class of 12 first graders. And it's just like, the gospel means something. And I think every single week as we're talking about things, kids will come up to me, oh, my mom does this. Oh, my dad does this. Like, but it is a privilege. Like, you know, we've been talking about this year we were all in Exodus, and we're talking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt and the Lord raising up a standard. And we, alongside the Ten Commandments, it's like, be holy as I am holy. And just that, you know, even the children of Israel, as they go out, the Lord is calling them to live in a way that none of the other nations around them are living. And the Lord is calling them and raising up a standard for them. And so to be able to encourage the kids with this, and they're receiving it, just like, yes, this is all around you, but the Lord is calling you and raising up a standard for you to represent him. And that is just, I mean, this is the message they've been hearing for the last few months. And we've had many classes when kids are in tears, when many in the class are in tears. And I know Jeffrey's had experiences when, like, that little boy we were talking about, he, like, was like, wait, so is the gospel like this? And he explained the whole thing back to Jeffrey. And he was like, yeah, that's it. And his eyes just lit up. And, like, I think ever since then, he had those experiences where he met up with Gianna at the Y. And so there are seeds going in. Now, we're also aware, like, they're going back to homes where there's nothing. And there's, you know, some of these kids live on my streets. And I know that if they have a parent around, their parents are, like, almost not there. Mm-hmm. And so that is, like, I know that's a big prayer we've had. It's just when they go home, when they leave the 20 minutes a week that they have of hearing the word, that those seeds would stay with them. But I think, like, on my street, because I do actually run into these kids on a regular basis, you know, I took a bunch of them for a walk maybe a month ago down to the river. And on the way back, they're like, oh, don't do that. That's breaking a commandment. Or like, Miss Catherine, she's breaking one of the commandments. And, you know, but they're thinking about it. And then they're turning to their friend and telling them, like, you broke a commandment. And it's just like, something's sticking. So anyways, but...
I'm just a volunteer for one class, so I'm hardly worthy to be called a LifeWise helper. But when Stephen was sharing about the word of his prayer for the word going forward, I thought of the Lord's parable of the sower. He's like, the word, the seed is the word of God, and as it's falling, I can just testify of one little seed that the Lord gave me the opportunity. Like they say, we're going through the Ten Commandments, and Bobby, one of the teachers, had this little hand trick he was using to teach the kids the Ten Commandments. One I remember was adultery. It was seven, and you had the two going behind here. They're hiding from the rest because they're doing something they shouldn't do. That was how he remembered adultery. Anyway, I remember, so all the kids are learning it, but then he was concluding it with the gospel message, which I don't know if anybody's familiar with Ray Comfort and his gospel preaching. He always goes the Ten Commandments as his way into the gospel, and Bobby was kind of doing that. But there's this one kid that I could tell was confused. He's like, so hold on, are we supposed to follow these commandments or are we not? And he was like, are these Ten Commandments for getting into heaven or not? And so just on the bus, I had about 5 minutes with him, and I just kind of went over and sat next to him and just explained that last little bit that Bobby was saying about. He's like, so do you keep all these commandments? He's like, well, no, not perfectly. It's like, and so if God were to judge you by them, would you be guilty or innocent? He's like, well, wouldn't we all be guilty? I was like, that's the whole point of what he said at the end, that Jesus actually took the penalty that was due unto us. And just to see a click in his mind that it, maybe for the first time in his whole life, at least he understood the truth of the gospel. And like, I don't know if he was born again at that moment or what, or but it's just like, it's one of those many little seeds that the Lord is casting. And it seems like for years it was like there was an impediment to the word of God even coming forth. And like LifeWise, among, like Stephen was saying, LifeWise is just a piece, but it just seems like the Lord is at least opening the door for the seeds to go out. You know, and we're praying also not just for the seed to go out now, but also for the ground to be right. And like Catherine was saying, they're going to go home. She's like, a lot of times there's nothing. Well, a lot of times the birds of the air are probably snatching the word even at home, you know, because like there's a lot of weird stuff that's taught in different places throughout Emporia, we're finding. And so we're praying for the soil. We're praying for the evil one to be held back from snatching the word. But the one, like, it's just a really encouragement that the Lord does seem to be at least opening the door that the seed is being able to be scattered. So, anyway, praise the Lord.
That's good. I haven't heard that. That's good. Yeah, and I guess I have this right. I don't need that. In closing, I did want to mention, just read a couple of scriptures, but they're directly related to prayer, because this is you're kind of getting a report, but this is a work we're doing. Y'all are helping us with through prayer and supporting us, and just like I believe Apostle Paul had, and I'll read through these quick. Ephesians 6:19, Paul says, "Pray also for me, that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel." In Colossians 4:3, he says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." And in 1 Thessalonians, he says, "We give thanks of God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Remember before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction." In 2 Thessalonians 3:3-5, it says, "Finally, brothers, pray for us, that the Lord's message may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen and guard you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do what we command. May the Lord direct your hearts to God's love and Christ's endurance." So these prayers, the Lord has opened the door. Continue to pray for us that once we're in that door, that we will say what we ought to. And if you notice, this is my prayer request, because like Kent said, before it seemed like the word was not even going out. The word is out now. It's going out, not fully, just getting started. And so it's going out, but I'm starting to notice these other things that's tied to it. Like, Paul can go out and say things, but now he's asking, pray. He says, "Pray that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness." So it's going out. Pray that we would have boldness. Pray that we would know what we ought to say and how to say it. Just because we're out there working does not mean, if the Apostle Paul had to keep asking these churches, "Hey, pray for me that I would know what to say when I open my mouth, that I can do this with boldness." That's what we need, boldness. And also, these other scriptures I read in Thessalonians. So pray for us for boldness, that we would not just make it known, but with boldness. Also, he said in Thessalonians, the gospel came to them not in word only, but it came to them in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. Pray we're not giving out the gospel in word only. Pray that it would be the true gospel, and it will be accompanied with these things. Because these children, God's church, we need power, His Holy Spirit, and we need, it says full conviction, some say with full assurance. Because I know a lot of people, a lot of kids go to church in Emporia, but you don't walk around like you have full assurance. And that's what we're praying for. And so I would beg for that prayer, that it would go forth with power by the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, that the Holy Spirit would be able to honor that word. And so and this right here. And he said on 2 Thessalonians, finally, brothers, pray for us that the Lord's message may spread rapidly and be honored. And so pray, like Ken said, the word's going forth. This is something I read during a prayer meeting we had, to where I saw, because the only thing I was praying that it would go forth rapidly. And I just ignored this and be honored part. And so I feel like the Lord said, now it's going forth, you need to pray that it starts to be honored. When you talk about it going in these homes. And he says, I just want to mention this real quick, and he says, this is 2 Thessalonians. And so he says, pray that it would be honored just as it was with you. So 1 Thessalonians, he said, when the word came to you, you just didn't receive this word as like, that's great, we agree with it. He said, you were changed. You received this word with full conviction, power, and the Holy Spirit, and you were changed. And everybody knew about it. And so he's saying again, that's what he means when he says it'd be honored. Because he says in 2 Thessalonians, pray that it would go swiftly and be honored just as it was among you. And so we don't want to fill Emporia with more Bible knowledge. Right? We want to see more children filled with Christ and assured. There's a song they use, Gianna sung, is they use it as like a theme, is that He knows my name. And because we all know, when we are assured with full assurance, which is only the Holy Spirit can give us that, then you almost, that kid's going to be good usually for eternity. And that's what we're praying for. So pray for that boldness, those that speak, and pray that the word that is going out swiftly, it will begin to be honored in homes. Maybe even in churches it would be honored, where God can actually do His work behind His word and bring about that fruit that He wants. And that prayer also in there about being held back from the evil one coming back, like Kent said, that these seeds would go in good ground and the enemy would snatch them, would not keep snatching them. And so those are the prayers that we need now that are specific and I believe strategic to God getting what He desires so He can keep building His church. He can keep making beautiful His bride for His return. Because we know that's we don't preach the gospel just so people can feel good about themselves, just so they can know Christ and Christ can get what He died for. That He can get that beautiful, glorious church. And whatever part of that church He desired and died to get out of Emporia, Virginia during our generation, I just pray we will be faithful to do our part. And just pray that we will be strengthened. And I just want to pray for you guys, just to wrap it up and finish, is that the gospel will become fresh to you. It will become powerful again to you. It will become sweet to you. And the same, because of your partnering with us and giving stuff, the Lord would give you the same blessing that He's given us, just because of your work, that He would strengthen you. And those of you who are tired, and those of you who are going through it, I just pray the Lord would strengthen you with holy expectation of this glorious gospel that we have. Nobody else has it. It's only in Christ Jesus. It's only in the church. And so I pray these same things I ask you to pray for us, I pray for you, that God would give you open doors, that God would give you boldness, that it would spread swiftly and it would be honored in the church and wherever you go. And I pray this thing that he said the Philippians were partnering with him with, the establishment of the gospel. May God show us together more and more what that is, what Paul meant when he says that. I pray that this gospel will be so fresh to us. We're a gospel community. You know, sometimes that phrase is taken, you know, we use the phrase, there's a gospel meeting. Was today a gospel meeting? It sure was. It was to me. I was reminded of who I am and who Christ is. And I understand, evangelists, don't get mad at me. I know we got to preach the gospel. We should have those gospel meetings. But I just pray that I've been thinking a whole lot about Romans 1:16, where Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe it. So I feel like the key thing to the Lord actually wants to impart to you is a renewed, stirred up, to be a renewed, believing people. To inject belief into you afresh, like it's the first day you've ever heard it or ever met him. Because that's what the Lord does, makes it new every day. And the Lord, I was reading this one day, when it says it's the power unto salvation, the gospel, and I was asking the Lord, I said, well, I preached the gospel to a lot of people, and there was no power, nobody got saved. And I feel like the Lord almost heard him say to me, well, Stephen, if I could get the ones preaching it to believe it, maybe I could act. And the Lord showed me that belief has worked two ways. And God wants you to believe again. There is, no matter what it feels like, what the world tells you, there's only one message. There's only one hope in Christ Jesus, and you have it. Act like it. Be bold and tell people that. You know, and younger people, if you can't say you're set apart for the gospel, ask the Lord about it. That you want your life set apart for the gospel. If you're captured by Christ, you want to be set apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Christ. And Paul, if you think about it, he was set apart for the gospel when he was getting beat for preaching it, and he was set apart for the gospel when he was making tents. So it's not about what it should look like. It's between you and the Lord. He died for you. He loves you. And so those things. Ask the Lord to let you be set apart for the gospel and believe it. Believe what you already have. It's like the Lord just said, like the reality of what you need right now is right under your nose. It's called the gospel. Believe it and speak it. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, it just comes down to you're wonderful. You're God. And you died for us, Lord Jesus. Lord, it is so simple. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would renew whatever this means to you, Lord. You would renew it in our lives, Lord. And I pray for this group here, the ones that have given money. They've prayed for us. They've encouraged us. Lord, I just thank you for this partnership. And, Lord, I pray you would actually stir up belief in this fellowship. They would begin to believe like they were just born again today. And Lord, they would find themselves singing to you more and witnessing without even thinking about it and enjoying all the goodness of the so great of a salvation that you've bought and purchased with your own blood. And so, Lord, I just pray you would refresh people here. Lord, people who are weary or people maybe who are just going through motions because it's all they have the strength to do. Lord, you love to come and strengthen people. And so, Lord, I pray you would strengthen them. There will be fresh belief in this house, in this portion of your house. There will be a mighty belief, Lord, and strengthen the ones that have been standing and fighting for so long. And, Lord, make them brand new in you, Lord Jesus. And, Lord, I'm confident, and it's the right thing to say. The thing that you started here, you will be bringing to completion. Lord, and on that day, you will get what you desired. And so, Lord, I thank you for the fellowship today. And we love you. In your name, Jesus. Amen.